Blog Talk Radio. Peace and love, fam. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody can hear me clearly. Feel free to text me and let me know that you can hear me clearly. Welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina. Thank you for being with me tonight. Happy Monday, happy Moonday, happy day of reflection. I hope everybody is doing really, really great. Let's see. So, yes, I was absent last week. Before I do all that, I want to say happy birthday to all of the Tauruses. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday, my sister Adrian. Happy birthday to Sean Kelly, a.k.a. Skelly Z. Happy birthday to Shannon Pridgen of Heavenly Crumbs. Happy birthday to Chevette Showers. Happy birthday to everybody who's a Taurus these days right now. Happy birthday. I hope that you all are celebrating your life. I always hope that people celebrate their birthdays because it's just so important to celebrate your life. You know, we continue to say that we are spiritual entities having a human experience. This is not your only life. We live multiple lifetimes. We come and go from this place we call Earth. And I think it's really important to celebrate your life. A couple of weeks ago, I was dealt a very hard blow. One of my best and dearest friends ever made her transition back into the spirit world a couple of weeks ago. She had been ill, but we had maintained constant and consistent contact for the entire time. I don't live in the same state as she does, or as she did. And, you know, there were a lot of other, my girl made her transition. I want to salute the amazing soul of Mary Edith Wormworth. Mary was one of the most sweetest, most loving human beings I've ever met in my life. And although she had her challenges, she always did her best to seek light and to be loving and to be kind, sometimes to a fault, but that's okay. She will be missed by many, 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 many people. As you all know, you know, I'm a singer, I'm a musician. I've toured the world and traveled across this country many, many times, and she was one of my serious partners on the road. We toured for years with various artists. We went to Japan a couple of times together. We spent over a month there one time. We just had these amazing adventures, and, you know, praise God, we were always safe. We were always all right. We always managed to get back home safely. You know, it was a wonderful, wonderful time being her friend, being her sister. So that's part of why I was not on the air last Monday. I wasn't really ready yet. It's been difficult, but I definitely am doing better. My husband was very, very supportive and helping me to, of course, realize and understand that she's in a much better place now. She's not suffering anymore. She's no longer in pain. And she is completely free of having a body. She's free of worry. She's free of sadness. She's free from her ailments. She's free. And so I have reconciled with that fact. I know that she's in a better place, and I can still feel her. She spiritually has made herself aware, known to me since her transition, so I really know that she's all right. And although I will miss her in the physical, I know that she's with me in spirit, and I will continue to relate to her and talk to her and pray for her and remember the wonderful times that we had. So again, I say, celebrate your life. It's fleeting. It's not as long as you think it is. You know, we take turns in these bodies, and sometimes we're here for a real long time. Sometimes we're here for a short time. Sometimes it's right in the middle. But make your life count. Make your life really have value and do things that value the lives of other people. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be afraid to be kind. You know, don't be afraid to be courteous or to let people in. We're here to learn our lessons. We're here to grow and to evolve. And so if you're living life in fear, you're not growing. So you've got to take those leaps of faith. Sometimes, you know, we fall down, but then what? We get back up. We are learning. We are always learning. So do your best. Don't take anything or anyone for granted. If you love someone, tell them that you love them every day. If they're not in your immediate company, then let them know whenever you do talk to them or you see them or whatever. But, you know, it's time for us to really raise up our loving vibrations. There is mayhem and wild things going on in the world these days. Wild things are happening in this country. People are becoming more and more desperate, and some people are really, really acting out and committing horrible acts against other people. You know, sometimes if you read the news every day, it can definitely be a little depressing because you're always hearing about doom and destruction and death and mayhem, you know, and yet and still, if you look outside your window, if you go outside, depending on where you are, if you go to a park, even if you, you know, want to get yourself enveloped in nature, you know, but just look around, look at the beautiful flowers that are, you know, blooming now and the weather is getting warmer and, you know, it's not always as horrible as it looks. And also give thanks for your own personal life. If you're not going through a whole lot of struggle and craziness, give thanks, okay? And if you are going through a lot of struggle and craziness, still give thanks and know and have the faith that you will transcend and you will be able to get through whatever hardships you're encountering. I have in my hand right now a very wonderful book I just started reading, written by our illustrious Dr. James W. Winborn. It is entitled Mad Jack and the Rabbit Holes, The Secrets, the Sacred Science Workshop for Anger Management and Other Hiccups from the Neck Up. Very, very good book. This book is good so far. I'm like, all right, wait a minute. This is good stuff. So I want to commend Dr. Winborn on his literary achievements because he has written several books. So I will be getting them slowly. But this is the first one that I have. It's called Mad Jack and the Rabbit Holes. And just in case you all don't really know, Dr. James Winborn, one of the producers of this network, he and I used to have a radio show back in the day. It was called Rabbit Hole Radio. And when we talk about the rabbit hole, we talk about the things that are really going on in our society, in our country, in our world. You know, there's a lot of stuff that gets sputtered out to us through news outlets and different things, but some of it isn't even true. Some of it is hype. Some of it is propaganda. And so you've got to really understand the difference. And so the reason why I named this radio show Black Alice in Wonderland radio show is because I'm Black Alice, and I am not afraid to go down the rabbit hole and retrieve the information to bring it back to you. So that's where that connection comes in. It's really, really important for you to not just understand things. You know, I always talk about how the English language is so poisonous and deadly. You know, understanding something is like you don't even have much of a conceptualization about it because you understand it. Whereas if you understand and then you overstand, then you really have it. So, you know, don't be afraid to obtain and have and gain knowledge. Knowledge is always going to reign supreme. And although our world is cockamamie and crazy, knowledge still reigns supreme. You know, I often reference ancient Kemet, you know, aka Egypt, and how knowledge reigns supreme. You could not function as a human being without supreme wisdom and knowledge. You couldn't exist. Like, everybody came to that region and other regions in Africa later on to perfect themselves and to learn as much as possible, to gain as much knowledge as possible. So it hasn't changed. You know, we have way more recreation these days. We have a lot of distractions, I find. And that can take you off of what your task is supposed to be. But just always remember, no matter how much fun you have, how much you're eating, whatever, where you live, all that is wonderful. But do your best to continue to seek knowledge. Have it. Because the more knowledge that you obtain, the better off, number one, you're going to be. And number two, you are doing your spiritual journey a great service by obtaining as much knowledge as possible, because a great deal of that can then carry on into your next lifetime. Now, I know I have a lot of people who may say, no, you only live one time, or people who don't believe in God, or people, whatever. But I am here to tell you that there is a higher force of energy which gives us our own energy, and we are a part of it. You can call it what you want to call it, but it won't negate the fact that it exists and that we are smaller aspects of that almighty energy. And so even in mourning for my friends and grieving for my friend, I also understand that she is one with the Creator. We all are, but she is back in the light. As an energetic entity, she cannot be destroyed, which means that she cannot not exist. So if she then still exists, but she's in a different form, then it's easier for me to accept her transition. And this is one of the things that a lot of us have to learn as we, you know, move and do and grow. Whenever we have a situation where we, quote unquote, lose a loved one, we don't really lose them. They just transcend into a higher form of energy from whence we all come from. So that has given me a lot of peace and allowed me to step into my higher self, where I can really see things clearly. And so, again, wisdom and knowledge is a beautiful thing. It was deep. I was talking to one of my other sisters the other day, and she was just saying, and she's a therapist, and she was saying how happy she is for me and how proud she is of me for having such a spiritual wealth of knowledge. And I've done a lot of work to obtain that, and so I'm grateful. I'm very, very, very grateful. You know, so I know that my sister friend, Mary Wormworth, is in a much more wonderful place than this, as pretty as places can be here. She's in the most beautiful, exquisite place ever. And I will see her again when my time comes. We will meet again. We were very much like kindred spirits. It felt like we were cut from the same cloth of spiritual energy. That's one of the ways that I can sort of explain it. It was immediate synergy when we first met each other. Oh my God, like over 20 some odd years ago, almost 30 years ago. And we were just the best of friends. We never had an argument. We said, my two black women, been on tour, traveled everywhere, lived on buses, the whole nine. We've never had an argument in all that time. So I rejoice for the spirit of my friend, and my beautiful sister friend. I rejoice just in the fact of knowing that I met her and that we had such a wonderful time together as sisters and as best friends. You know, the kind of person you have in your life where you may be having a bad day or you may be sad about something and they're going to call you because they can feel that you're sad and vice versa. That's the type of relationship that we had. It was very spiritually connected. Finishing sentences, we had a lot of the same clothes. We didn't buy the clothes at the same time. We just found out over time. We had like so many different outfits that were the same. And so when we would be on stage, we would wear them. You know, we sang together a lot. I mean, a lot. I'm talking about years. You know, so it was really a very beautiful experience. And I give thanks for having known her. And I know she's good. So Ibaye to my beautiful sister Mary. Ashe, ashe, asheo. Okay, so, yes, and definitely pick up Mad Jack and the Rabbit Holes, which is an awesome book. It's on Amazon by Dr. James W. Wimborne. Check it out. It's really good. All right, so I touched on this before. I think it was, I touched on it twice so far, so stay with me. I'm feeling like, and I'm hoping it doesn't come true. There are a lot of things that I feel, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want it to happen. But this recent action in the financial realm can possibly be the Trojan horse of the government to change our currency into digital only, and we become somewhat like China overnight. As I mentioned, it's uncomfortable. That thought definitely gives me the creeps. You know, but I'm hearing the government sound very, very special about our bank accounts and finances. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is warning us and screaming at the top of her lungs that the debt ceiling of our nation could collapse by June 1st. And I was like, that is really not good. But what a cloak of deception it would be if they were actually moving forward with to change the United States currency to digital. I was like, oh, so I hope y'all really, really are hearing what I'm saying. This dollar, okay, the greenbacks that we know, this almighty dollar, could really all be said and done by July. Now, last money, the FDIC seized another bank, First Republic Bank, I believe in San Francisco, and then the FDIC gave the bank to J.P. Morgan Chase. I was like, hark. I hope that you can see how these, like, centennial families of wealth can just hang in there and gobble up the smaller fish. J.P. Morgan Chase, by the way, was a wealthy white man born April 17, 1837. He was very shrewd, and he did a lot of shady stuff to get where his family name is now. So please pay attention to what they're talking about with regard to the debt ceiling, because there's a lot of conversation between McCarthy and Biden and other individuals. But be aware, okay? There are even lots of different articles that have come out about what I'm talking about and different things that you might find either on Instagram or Facebook or even TikTok that talk about this new currency coming in and what to do if you've got a bank account and blah, 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 blah. It's not a game, a joke, or a drill. Like, this is really something that could really occur quite soon. I remember when I first saw an older white man talking about it, and this was like maybe 10 months ago or so. So I'm seeing all this action and all this stuff come up. And, you know, meanwhile, while the news is saying, oh, you know, the debt ceiling and Congress has to meet and the Republicans and Democrats have to get together on the same page, blah, 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 blah. I'll always continue to say we know that Republicans and Democrats are but two broken wings on one dumb bird. So they're all in this together. And I wouldn't put it past them to want to get rid of the dollar the way it is right now and to turn our entire United States currency into a crypto digital currency. Now, I talked about this before. With financial institutions and other groups, let's say, like BRICS, people always make fun of BRICS, but BRICS is big because BRICS is Great Britain, Russia, India, China, South and South Africa, and they are courting South Korea and I believe Saudi Arabia. And they're having discussion about changing the currency of the stock market from the dollar to the Chinese yuan. That is a big problem for the United States of America, because if the entire stock market changes its base currency from the U.S. dollar to yuan, our whole financial system will collapse. So they're talking about the debt ceiling, blah, 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 you know, but what if that is almost like a Trojan horse and that BRICS and Saudi Arabia and South Korea come together and they're also courting other African nations, I'm also learning, that will put us in a heap of trouble. So I really, really, really hope you're paying attention. Seriously, this is when I start, you know, I say one of my lines, I'm like, you know, hello, you know, Johnny, can you hear me? Are you listening, Johnny? Hello? Like, yeah, because this could be something special. We are already seeing that the housing market is off the chain. Even when it comes to apartments, the fees have gone up so much. The price of a mortgage with the percentage that they, you know, keep increasing is horrible. And I think it's a combination of them trying to make money back from when COVID slowed everything down or put certain things to a stop, as well as trying to get as much wealth as they can before this currency situation changes. Either way, it's not cute. It's really not cute. And what it means is horrible. Even when you dealing with the automobile industry and how much a freaking pickup truck costs or how much an SUV costs. An SUV, not even with all the bells and whistles on it. The damn thing is like a house. Like, who? Hello? That's fierce. Something is not right. A Jeep Cherokee should not costs, even if it's a Wagoneer, I don't give a damn, it shouldn't cost $86,000. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So think, why is everything so expensive? What is actually going on with the currency of this nation? What is going on in the financial world? Not just here, but the entire world, what is going on, global economics, what's going on? And I am not trying to be the Grim Reaper, but I'm damn sure going to pay attention. I'm going to pay attention. And there's something that is really, really not right. And it's not like I'm old and I was born when the Model T came out. No, I'm a baby of the 60s. And I remember in the 80s when you could get a pickup truck for $57.95, it was Mazda. I'll never forget the little song. $5,000. Okay. $5,700 some odd. Almost, you know, $5,800. Okay, that great. $80,000? Like, that's insane. You know, Suburbans and Tahoes, $80,000. What? Come on, man. And the one thing about the automobiles, okay, they come out new every year. You know, they change the model like every couple of years. But, you know, they're brand new. They got that new smell. Some of these houses ain't new. Some of these houses are not worth the money that they're now charging. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But again, I say, pay attention. Pay attention, because stuff is popping, and we're always, as the general public, the very last to find out what the truth of the matter is. I don't need to take y'all back to COVID. You remember what happened. Now, all of a sudden, the United States government puts out a whole thing talking about, oh, it's over, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I got information today. Let me pull that up for you real quick, because, you know, while we're on the subject. In Europe, the European database came out with information with regard to COVID. So here's this. According to the Europeans, and I think it's called Eurovigilance, okay, the COVID-19 vaccine has had 5,300,015 injuries so far, and over 50,663 people dead from the vaccine. Okay? I know that's right, KK. It is not over. It is not over for them folks. We in a heap of trouble. You know, again, I continue to say, eat well, eat right. Make sure you're getting your vitamins and your minerals. Make sure you're getting sunlight, okay, which is straight vitamin D, which we synthesize. It's very hard to get vitamin D from a vitamin that's been manufactured, because you can't manufacture sunlight. Hello? Pay attention. So, again, when I say the financial crisis and all these issues that are going on, all these banks that have been closing and being reacquired by other wealthy white families. Hello, hi. And people don't understand J.P. Morgan Chase was an actual human being. That was his name. That is the beginning of Chase Manhattan Bank. And he did a lot of dirty stuff. He's the one that completely ruined Nikola Tesla. Tried to convince people that he was a madman, that he was crazy. Now we have a whole car line called Tesla. Anyway, you know, just pay attention. Always keep that head on a swivel, fam. But one of my top stories for this evening is very interesting, and you know how I love to go on in this one. This is next up, we got the one and only Donald J. Trump. Yeah, okay. He's made history yet again, but it's not. But as usual, it's not in the best way, okay? So Judge Kaplan had announced in the middle of last week that Trump had up until this past Sunday and possibly at 5 p.m. to come forth and appear in court. Now, what you've got to realize is that this has never happened before. The defense in the case has rested, meaning that they really don't have any more witnesses to call, so they're like, okay, that's it. That's all we got. They're not going to go on further, okay, and they're not going to even try to defend him further, okay, that's it. So this is something that just doesn't happen in the judiciary world. Judges do not give defendants second chances to prove their innocence. Now, this is what bothers me, okay, because the unattractive fact that he was president for a hot moment and so much of his imperial status and his money makes him damn near untouchable. And this is terrible, because if this was a regular individual, first of all, they wouldn't be getting a second chance to appear in court, but they would have had to come in. Like, he had the option of not coming in, taping a deposition, sending that tape to court, blah, 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 even though that was a hot mess, but I'll get into that in a minute. But it's just, it's so... To me, it's discriminatory, because people who don't have a lot of money will always suffer in the judiciary system, whereas people who have money get off. And we're seeing it with this orange class clown. So we know that he's dumb. Sorry, not sorry, but he's dumb. Okay? And he's dumb with a boatload of money. Again, I say broke folks don't have these options. So in his latest soliloquy, there's the case of E. Jean Carroll and two other women who have filed a civil lawsuit against him, claiming that he sexually assaulted them. In Carroll's case, she states that he raped her inside of the fitting room in Bergdorf Goodman's department store in New York City back in the 90s. Now, what's crazy is that he keeps denying that the incident ever happened, and he keeps saying that she's not his type, she's not his type. However, in a black and white photo, which was quite clear, that he was shown, this was a good trick of the plan, that this was good. There was a picture with Carol and him, her husband at the time, John Johnson, yes, black John Johnson, okay? And I believe Ivana Trump. What's deep is that he thought E. Jean Carroll was Marla Maples. How about that? Now, he's too stupid, because why would there be a picture of your wife and your soon-to-be ex-wife in the same photo? That's hilarious in itself, because you wouldn't put Marla Maples and Ivana Trump together necessarily. But his dumb behind, number one, doesn't remember the picture and doesn't realize that E. Jean Carroll is not Marla Maples. Now, this goes on to say that she is his type if he thought that Marla Maples was the woman in the picture, because he married Marla Maples. Are you following me? So talking about she's not my type, she's not my type, and then you see her in a picture and you think it's Marla Maples, one of your ex-wives, who obviously would have to be your type. Hello? Very deep. I was like, ooh, okay. Moving forward, former People magazine writer Natasha Stoyanov told the jury that she was at Mar-a-Lago in late 2005 to write an article on Donald Trump and Melania Trump's first wedding anniversary when he asked her if she wanted to see a room in the estate. So she said, okay, she's not thinking much of it. Quote, I followed him and we went in through these back doors and down a hall and turned right into a room. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, wow, really nice room. I wonder what he wants to show me. And I hear the door shut behind me, end quote. Stoyanov said she interviewed Trump on a number of occasions as part of her assignment on the Trump beat for People magazine. She testified that Trump asked her into the room while Melania was changing clothes in preparation for their interview outside. Quote, by the time I turned around, he has my hands on my shoulders and he's pushing me against the wall and he starts kissing me, end quote. Stoyanov testified. She said that she tried to shove him away. Quote, he came toward me again, and I tried to shove him again. He was kissing me, and he was against me, holding my shoulder back. She testified that she said no words. Quote, I couldn't. I tried. I was just flustered and shocked. No words came out of me, end quote. This is what she told the jury. Quote, did you tell him to stop? Carol's attorney, Michael Ferreira, asked. Quote, I couldn't, Stoyanov answered. She said the encounter ended when a butler entered the room. Stoyanov described herself as, quote, ashamed and humiliated at what had happened, end quote, and testified she said nothing about it to her bosses at People because she didn't want to cause trouble at the magazine. She said she first decided to tell her story after she saw the infamous, quote, Access Hollywood tape, end quote, that surfaced during the 2016 presidential campaign on which Trump is overheard boasting to then host Billy Bush about grabbing and kissing women without consent. Y'all remember what he said? Quote, you know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But anyway, moving forward. He says, I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. End quote. Trump says on the tape, which was played for the jury, this is what he said. Quote again. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything, whatever you want. Another voice is heard saying, another voice is saying whatever you want. Then he says, grab him by the pee. You don't know what that means. You know what I said. He says, you could do anything. So after Stoyanov made her allegation in 2016, Trump denied her claim saying, quote, look at her. You tell me what you think. I don't think so. In a response that Carol's attorney said, echoed his assertion that Carol is not my type. On cross-examination, Trump attorney Joe Tacopina asked Stoyanov if she had legal claim against Trump. She said no. Stoyanov is one of two women who the court has ruled are allowed to testify about prior assaults by Trump. On Tuesday, Jessica Leeds told jurors that Trump groped her during a flight to New York in 1979, and what Carol's attorneys said showed a pattern of behavior on Trump's part. Leeds, who first made her allegation to the New York Times just before 2016, during the presidential election, testified that she was seated next to Trump in the first class section. Quote, when all of a sudden Trump decided to kiss me and grope me, it was when he started putting his hand up my skirt that gave me a jolt of strength, testifies Leeds, who said she freed herself and went storming back to her seat in the back of coach. Trump has denied all allegations. Earlier Wednesday, Tacopina told Judge Lewis Kaplan that Trump will not mount a defense in the case. Tacopina told the judge that he had decided not to call an expert witness that had been expected to testify for the defense. Quote, we're not going to move forward, end quote, Tacopina said. The judge told the jury to expect to get the case, quote, early next week, which is now. Carol's sister, Candy Carol, testified Wednesday afternoon that she found out about her sister's alleged rape in 2019 when Carol sent her an email containing the link to an excerpt of Carol's 2019 book that contained the rape allegation. That she found out about it that way was hardly surprising, she said, because she and her older sister didn't talk about those types of things. On cross-examination, the younger Carol testified that she and Carol had a close relationship in the 1990s when the alleged rape occurred. Quote, you talk almost daily, defense attorney Perry Brent asked. Most days, Carol responded before Brent asked her to affirm that the first she had heard of the alleged sexual assault by Trump was in 2019. Family, this is a nasty case. This is a really nasty case. And this so-called man makes real men look real bad. He is an actual cretin. He is. He's disgusting. He can't control his sexual urges. He's not that smart. He is just an ape. He is a horrible person. And he forces himself on various women. Don't forget about the other 23 women that have put up allegations of sexual assault against him. Don't forget about them. You know, again, I continue to say he shouldn't even be allowed to run for PGA president, let alone president of this nation. Like, they just need to disqualify him. That's what I feel. This is terrible. And Lord knows, no, I don't want a Ron DeSantis as a president. But there's got to be some sane Republican in this world that would be able to run against both of those idiots and do well, okay? I don't believe the entire Republican Party is that stupid. It's very interesting, very, very interesting. Now, we have two other cases that are crazy. One, you've got, I think his name is Robert Mealy in New York, who was murdered on a subway train via chokehold for 15 minutes by a white man. Now, everybody remembers this brother because if you were in the New York City area, if you came through Times Square, you could see him doing his Michael Jackson impression, okay? He was good, too. Now, even if they got into an altercation, which I don't know of, but I'm just saying, even if they did, he did not deserve to lose his life. And why is this white man walking around like he didn't just kill somebody on the train? What is going on? And why is it always freaking open season on black folk? Again, I continue to tell y'all, we don't band together, we can hang it up. And we don't have to agree, but we really need to come together because everywhere I'm looking, I'm seeing craziness go on with regard to killing innocent black people. I'll go a step further, even killing innocent Latino people. You had the white boy at the mall in Texas this past weekend, killed 8 people, several others are injured in the hospital. He then was killed. Meanwhile, he had all types of interests and what have you in neo-Nazism, and he was against Jews, he was against women. Okay, quick sidebar. I do not understand how you can be against an entire sex of people. And I'll go a step further. When someone is against women, I want to know, well, how did he get here? How can you come out of a woman's vagina and you're born and yet and still, or even her stomach in a C-section, regardless, you're born of a woman and you don't like women? What's wrong with you? Even if you had mommy dearest for a mother, I still kind of can't see it. It bugs me out when I hear about men against women. It's a lot for me because I'm like, well, how did you get here? That's just a quick sidebar for me. But I can't. All right, so I'm going to take a little turn here. All right. According to USA Today, if you're thinking about a long-term real estate investment or you're shopping for a place to settle down for 20 to 30 years, you might be wondering which cities or states could fare better than others in this changing climate. There are no winners in a world where climate change gets worse, said Adam Cannon, director of regional economics at Moody's Analytics and author of a recent study on climate risks in the United States. Climate change is ramping up the long-term risk almost everywhere, said Cannon and others. Temperatures are increasing, oceans are warming and rising, and scientists say the heat and higher sea levels help make some natural disasters more extreme. No kidding. The consequences vary widely over time and space, so it's difficult to make a definitive ranking that says by here or not here. But a growing body of evidence helps highlight some general trends. USA Today looked at data from First Street and Moody's Analytics, two organizations examining climate risk, to see what areas of the country are more at risk over the next 30 years. Now, this may concern some of y'all who are thinking about, you know, moving to the South or moving to the Midwest or whatever. Me, personally, I don't want to go anywhere because I know I'm high up. And although weather can be interesting this high, I don't want to deal with nothing by the coast because that's going to flood in any event. And mortgage companies are asking the same kinds of questions, Cannon said. Banks are being asked to stress test their portfolios in preparation for the impact of climate change. While locations with the greatest risks seem obvious, think Florida, others might surprise you. Here's your guide to what, when, and where you can expect the worst climate change effects in the USS. In the U.S. will be. Each region sees risks. Climate change will have uneven effects on the U.S. in coming decades. Some areas may experience more heat, more flooding, more extreme storms, or more intense wildfires, or all of the above. The U.S. won't see any locations underwater or wiped off the map over the next 30 years, Cameron said, but access to fresh water and insurance premiums will become bigger challenges. Every year, it becomes increasingly crystal clear just the amount of risk that we face, whether it's increasingly severe natural disasters or droughts and heat risks, he said. In some cases, it's creating renewed momentum or brand new momentum for governments and businesses that hadn't been thinking seriously about the impact of climate change before. Everyone loses out if others are affected, because we all rely on goods and services from other states and countries, said climate scientist Michael Mann, director of the Pennsylvania Center for Science, Sustainability, and the Media at the University of Pennsylvania. It's a domino effect. On the East Coast, wind, flooding, and sea level rise stack the deck against many counties and states, especially Florida and the Carolinas, Cameron said. Bustling economies and distance to the beach still attract people in droves, but at some point, the tide literally will turn against communities along beaches and coastal rivers. In the Southwest, heat and fire bring increasing risks, particularly in Arizona, he said, without factoring in the perils of a dwindling water supply. I covered that a few months ago, remember? In the interior, intense heat may affect these states the most in runaway warming scenarios, Mann said. Sudden downpours with unprecedented rain also are occurring more often, even though these states aren't in hurricane-prone coastal areas. One study that he co-wrote showed some of the great risk of heat stress could be in urban areas in the Pacific Northwest and Great Lakes. Idaho to Minnesota will have a swath of states across the northern U.S. look better than most, with less pronounced risks, Cameron said. Recent statistics on an influx of newcomers to Idaho and its burgeoning tech hub in Boise show people may be figuring that out. Montana may be the next frontier within the next 10 to 20 years. Very interesting. Now, Texas. Its sheer size and geography means Texas has a lot of risks. First Street's data shows some of its counties are at great risk of wildfire. Some face higher potential losses from tropical cyclone winds, and some have greater flood risks. The Lone Star State leads the nation in billion-dollar disasters, according to information from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It averages 5.3 such events per year, double the number it experienced in the previous 20, even adjusted for inflation. Florida, 8,346 miles of shoreline, surrounded on three sides by water. Need we say more? Rising sea levels and extreme rainfall, fueled by warming oceans, with the potential for more intense hurricanes, while more people crowd into densely populated areas, increase the risks. Florida has the most top spots on First Street's list of counties that would see the biggest increases in the number of days with the very warmest temperatures that they experience today. New Jersey, the Garden State, has counties among the top of First Street's list for potential increases in average annual wind losses, extreme fire risk, and properties at risk of flooding. New Jersey has suffered three hurricanes or their remnants in 2021 and 2022, including Hurricane Ida, Hurricane Henry, the final vestiges of Hurricane Ian. Forecasts for higher winds, for more tropical cyclones and hurricanes are not good news. So get ready, Jersey. California. Over the past 3 years, the state has seen its largest wildfire season in history, its worst drought in 1,200 years, and a string of record-setting atmospheric rivers or plumes of moisture from the Pacific Ocean. Golden State residents need no reminder of the risks they face. But First Street's data shows some California counties high on its list for most extreme fire, and some cities with the greatest percentage of residual properties at risk of flooding. Which states did Moody's Analytics find face the greatest physical risks? When it comes to weather-related events, hurricanes are the heavy hitters when accounting for acute physical risk. Climate change already is cranking up the rain in some tropical storms, and hurricanes could be slowing them down over land, but that research is still underway, scientists say. Floods and wildfires also figured into Cannon's assessment of physical risks. Here is a list. Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina, Delaware, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Not good. Other locations suffer from change over time rather than in single headline grabbing events. Think the creep of rising sea levels or warmer nights and higher average temperatures. San Francisco faces above average risk across these categories and more. And it's the nation's most exposed large city. The suspects, okay, all right. So when we're talking about climate change, it's happening. It's not slowing down, okay, regardless as to why. It's not slowing down. So we've got to be wise, and we need to be thinking about where we want to live in the next 20, 30 years when it comes to sea levels rising, storms getting worse, et cetera. I am grateful that, you know, a lot of my family is not in Florida anymore. I do still have some family there, you know, but I'm glad that, you know, they kind of left Florida, even though they went to Arizona, which may not be so much better. But I know that we're going to experience some really interesting things, family. So, you know, if you can, save your money, relocate, try to get to somewhere where you're, you know, above sea level to a nice degree. Because the ocean is coming back to reclaim the land. We got to be ready. Whew, so much happening. All right. So aside from the shootout at the mall, there was also another shootout at a Midtown Atlanta medical building. It left one woman dead and four others wounded. This was last Wednesday. excuse me. And it's deep because this particular person, I believe, was a member of the Coast Guard. So the assailant, 24-year-old Deion Patterson, opened fire in the waiting room of Northside Hospital Medical, killing a 39-year-old woman and sending four others to the hospital before fleeing in a vehicle that he carjacked nearby. Authorities were called to the scene just after noon on Wednesday. Atlanta Police Chief Darren Shirebaum stated that the woman wounded ranged in age from 25 to 71. Patterson was seen in the carjacked vehicle on license plate recognition cameras in the Cobb County area around 12:30 p.m. Cobb County Police Sergeant Wayne Delk had said in an evening news conference, Cobb County was not alerted until around 2:30 p.m. that the suspect may be in the area, which is when they began searching the license plate camera footage. The carjacked vehicle was later recovered by Atlanta police in a parking garage near Truist Park, Delk said. Truist Park is the baseball stadium where the Atlanta Braves play. Patterson was apprehended in a condominium complex near Truist Park, roughly around 7:45 p.m. local time. excuse me. the suspect was actually seeking new treatment. A high-level source at the Atlanta Police Department told CNN that according to Patterson's mother, the suspect was seeking new treatment after being dissatisfied with the care that he was receiving from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Of course, CNN has reached out to the VA for comment, none yet. The suspect was a former Coast Guardsman. Patterson entered the Coast Guard in July 2018 and last served as an electrician's mate, second class. He was discharged from active duty January 2023. The Coast Guard said that they're working closely with Atlanta police and other authorities in the shooting investigation. Our deepest sympathies are with the victims and their families, the statement said. The four victims were taken to downtown's Grady Memorial Hospital, and it is Atlanta's only level one trauma center. So, peace be upon the souls that were slain, and hopefully everyone else will be able to heal and recover from this very tragic situation. Again, we're talking about mental health. Talking about mental health. That does not seem to be a priority in this nation, and it really needs to be. Next up, Brian Slayton has resigned from the Texas House of Representatives on Monday ahead of a vote over whether to expel him after an investigation found that he engaged in inappropriate sexual conduct with a 19-year-old aide. This is according to the state Republican Party. How about that? The House Committee on General Investigating on Saturday released an 18-page report detailing its investigation into Slayton's conduct, which it called grave and serious. It found he violated House rules by engaging in an inappropriate workplace conduct, specifically sexual harassment and retaliation. The five-person committee unanimously recommended his expulsion, and the Texas House of Representatives was set to vote Tuesday on whether to expel Slayton from the legislature. Matt Rinaldi, chair of the Republican Party of Texas, said Slayton's actions, quote, betrayed the trust, end quote, of his constituents. Really? Anyway, quote, we are encouraged that this investigation signals that the House has entered a new era of accountability where all members will be held to the same fair and high standards, Rinaldi said in a statement. Slayton, 45 years old, was a conservative Republican representative in the chamber. Last year, he called for drag shows to be banned in the presence of minors, citing a need to protect children from perverted adults. This is hilarious. Slayton and Patrick Short, his attorney, did not respond to NBC News' request for comment. Last month, Short called the allegations against Slayton, which came from three female staffers who were between the ages of 19 and 21, quote, outrageous and false. Slayton's lawyers had tried to have the complaint dismissed by arguing that his actions occurred at this Austin residence, not in the workplace. But the committee, citing a state court ruling, said their job in investigating the allegations was to, quote, ask whether sufficient facts exist from which to infer a nexus between the sexual conduct and the work environment, end quote, which the panel concluded there was. According to the report, Slayton had sexual intercourse with a legislative aide whom he had primary responsibility for overseeing. I guess he oversaw that one. He invited her to his apartment late at night on March 31st and served her alcoholic beverages, the committee found. The aide later testified that she consumed a lot of alcohol and felt, quote, really dizzy while she was at Slayton's apartment. Sometime on the morning of April 1st, the two had sexual intercourse, and the aide got Plan B medication to prevent pregnancy later that morning. The report found that the aide could not effectively consent nor indicate whether sex was welcome or unwelcome. The committee did not address the question of whether Slayton committed sexual assault, saying it did not have, quote, sufficient facts, end quote, to undertake the analysis. Quote, in the moment, obviously, I had too many drinks. Kind of hard to think in the moment when you're intoxicated. But now that I look back at it, it was definitely an inappropriate situation, end quote. The report quoted the aide as saying. The committee found that Slayton later engaged in harassment and retaliation to prevent staffers from speaking about his conduct. The aide testified that Slayton showed her an anonymous, quote, threatening, end quote, email from someone claiming to know that he had slept with the staffer. She said she became really fearful and that she would lose her job. She said that Slayton told her, quote, everything would be fine. Everyone involved just has to stay quiet, end quote, according to the report. The committee also found that a fellow representative had called Slayton to ask if he had had sexual intercourse with a staffer, which Slayton confirmed. The representative said that the next day he told Slayton to resign, at which point Slayton asked if the phone call could remain, quote, between us. Slayton had resisted calls to resign from office and has not expressed regret for his conduct, and that's what the committee said. So pressure for his resignation began mounting over the weekend with the Texas Freedom Caucus, whose members were usually allied with Slayton, calling his behavior abhorrent. It is the committee's unanimous recommendation that, considering the factors stated above, the only appropriate discipline in this matter is expulsion. So he gone. Now, again, the man is 40-something years old, and you have sex with a 19-year-old? And this is what they do. It ain't like this ain't what they do. This is what they do. That's maddening. Something ain't right. And it's interesting to me that he gets expelled, but Matt Gaetz and George Santos still get to run around and have their position. I don't quite get that. And Matt Gaetz was accused of having sex with an underage girl who was, I believe, 17 at the time, not 18. And that all got swept under the rug. We know George Santos is just a blatant liar, pathological liar. And yet, and still, he still has his position. So it's interesting to me whenever the Republican Party seems to get morals and that waxes and wanes. I think it wanes more than it waxes. Because if you look at what's going on with Trump and all of that mess, please. Like, how many people can a presidential nominee have against him in cases of sexual assault? That's just nasty. Okay, how about that? That's just nasty. Now, my next topic might rub a few of you the wrong way. It's not my intent to do so, but this is something I have to speak on because I do have a problem with it. I will preface this by saying I have absolutely nothing against the LGBTQIA and on individuals. I don't have anything against them. My problem is inclusion. And I'm not saying this in a way where I'm saying that I don't want them around me. That is not what I'm saying. But I got two beefs. One beef I have is allowing a male who, quote unquote, identifies as female, compete in sports with females. And I have a problem with men that identify as being female going to the bathroom with me. Sorry, I don't like it. I don't think is cool. Maybe we need to have some extra construction and let them have their own bathroom. That's fine. But I do not feel, believe, or want for any man who identifies as being female but still has a throne that men have, number one, in the bathroom with me or competing in female sports. I don't think it's fair. I've watched several things at this point, family. I watched one press conference with a young white woman who was in a swimming competition who got beaten by a male that identifies as being female. I saw another situation with a young lady who ran track, and she's running against a boy that identifies as being female. Let me tell you something, and I just understand when this got this out of control. And don't get mad at me, family. I'm just being honest. When did this shit get so out of hand? I'm not talking about beating up on gay people or them not being able to be together or any of those types of things. They could do that if they want to. But if your gender, your real gender that you were born with, is against what you say you feel like, and that goes all the way to the point where you feel like you need to come into the women's room, meaning women's bathroom, or even female locker room, you want to compete in sports, we got a problem. I watched a most horrific video of a big boy who identifies as being female, the living shit out of little girls in the bathroom at school. One of the girls taped it on her phone. This joker was slamming these girls around like rag dolls, not to mention that he had to be at least maybe 6 feet. And the way he was throwing them around, punching them in the head, slamming them to the ground, yo, if that was my kid, I'd own the district. If that was my child. If my child had gotten accosted and beat up by this boy that wants to identify as a girl in the girl's bathroom, yo, we'd have so much problems. Ooh, my family would be getting paid right now. We'd be getting paid. Something's wrong with this, fam. And what's wild to me, check me if I'm wrong, I do not see a whole bunch of women, meaning individuals with vaginas that may identify with being male, running all up into the men's bathroom and wanting to compete against the men in sports. I don't see that at all. But I do see an overarching example of boys and men that feel like they're women or feel like they're female, feel like they just identify with being a female, going up into the ladies' room. I believe there have been a couple of cases of rape. Yes, rape. I guess he lifted up his dress and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not trying to sit here like I'm great grandma, old-fashioned, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I know members of the LGBT community. I know that my uncle was gay. Like, come on. However, never in my life did I ever hear my uncle say that he wanted to go to the bathroom in the women's bathroom. All right? I have other friends that are flaming, and they're not busting their ass to get into the women's bathroom or compete. And the competition at both aspects are a problem for me, family. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to sit here and sound like I'm just, you know, bashing the gay community. That is not what I'm doing. That is not what I'm doing. But when you have adolescent and grown men that want to go to the bathroom, relieve themselves in the woman's bathroom. But if we get into an altercation, the women get the crap beat out of them? How is this okay? This is such a problem, it is not funny. Why is it all right to have men and women competing in sports against each other? I don't understand that. We are not the same. If I sat here right now and start talking about, oh, I feel like I'm a man, or I identify with being male, that does not change my hormonal structure. I'm just saying, off the cuff. I'm not talking about medication. I'm talking about off the cuff. That does not make me male. It does not all of a sudden give me testosterone and muscles and all the things that are associated with being male. No, it won't. So this is interesting to me. There's a few things at the top of my list of interest. That is one of them, because when I saw this boy beating the crap out of these girls in what? That's insane to me. This is going to get out of hand. It's already out of hand if we have young girls being beaten up. We got young girls that are being beaten at the sport, competing in swimming and track and losing to this boy that identifies as being a female and somebody letting that ride. I don't understand that. So, no, I'm against that. If anything, have your own Olympics if that's the case. Have your own sports for just the transgender people if that's what they want to do. But you should not be competing against a real girl if you've got testosterone and a penis. No, you shouldn't. Sorry. I'm not talking about intramural types of games. I'm talking about the games that we know lead to scholarships and medals. Yes? I'm not just talking about girls that want to play flag football. I played flag football. It was fun, but I would never attempt to have this huge competition against a male in football. They'll break my bones. Something ain't right. And do you really want a boy in a dress in your daughter's bathroom? I don't. Sorry, I don't. Makeup and fingernails does not take away your testosterone. Sorry, your muscle mass. Men and women are different for a reason. We are built so that we actually will procreate, will come together and procreate. That's why we're built the way that we're built. Penises are not supposed to go into anuses. Sorry, I know I'm giving a real, real lesson today, but they're really not. Your anus is for things to come out of only. Ain't nothing supposed to go up there except maybe the occasional suppository and your doctor's finger. That's it. We got problems now. We have assault, sexual assault and physical assault against young girls and women in these bathrooms. How is this okay? How is this okay? And don't come to me. I am just stating what is really, really real. Because we got problems. This is a problem. This is not normal or healthy. I am sorry. And don't get mad at me again. I don't believe that it should be a parent's right to change their child's sex if their child is like 9 years old. No, I don't agree with that. I don't care if he wants to wear your shoes and put makeup on. He's going to have to wait. Why are you deciding the entire sexual outlook of a child? What happens if you change that child's genitalia and then they come out of puberty and they really want to be what they were born as? What you going to do then? Because you can't put the penis back on. We have got to be careful when it comes to a lot of this Sodom and Gomorrah behavior. We got to be careful. And you can push something on me as much as you want to. That don't mean I'm going to agree with it. No, it does not. There are certain things that I will not agree with. There are certain things I cannot co-sign. I can't do it. I'm not talking about back in the day when we were at the club and we all had the unisex bathroom in the club, blah, 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 blah. That was in the club. You had to be 21 to get in. At that point, you're already, quote, unquote, a young adult. And praise God, nothing happened to us because we weren't in no wild, grungy club. You know, it was house music, so the music was always beautiful. The people were beautiful. Nobody got accosted. Nobody got attacked or anything like that. But this, nah, this ain't cool. This is something that's not excusable. I'm sorry. I'm not. If I had a daughter and she was in, you know, junior high school or high school, and she has a classmate that identifies with being female even though they're male, and they want to go to her bathroom, oh, hell no. Nope. Sorry. Nope. We're not doing that. So, you know, just think about it, you know, and if any of you have been privy to any of the videos that I've seen, oh, my God, you'll be mortified. You'll be mortified to watch that boy beat the living daylights out of several girls. I mean, God, he's on top of them on the floor, just banging their head, excuse me, punching them in the head and slamming their head into the floor. That's what y'all want. With your kumbaya, that's what y'all really want? Something ain't right. Now, in the larger picture, when I look at life and I look at this journey, especially spiritually, I have long since known that generally as souls, when we're born, we're male first for a while. You're male until you be female. And that is because men are not as nurturing. So you have to go through several lifetimes as a male before you become a woman, which makes you then responsible to have a child, to bear fruit, if you will. And this is ancient. I am making this up. This is ancient. We incarnate as males for a while until we're able to incarnate into female. Let that marinate. So perhaps the query around homosexuality comes in when you are possibly no longer going to be male, and maybe in your next life you will incarnate as female. And so you have identification with femininity and loving and nurturing and things like that, being pretty, blah, 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 dee, 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 but you're not yet a female. Maybe in your next life you'll be born as a female. And so on. And I'm using this because homosexuality is born from a European concept. Ancient Africans did not engage in homosexuality. A man would rather be a eunuch, meaning that he had his penis cut off before he would have a sexual relation with another man. Let that marinate. We don't even have words for homosexuality in certain ancient African societies. However, we do have a lot of homosexuality in Europe via the Ice Age and the coming of white people. We got homosexuality, bestiality, Those things come out of Europe. Those things come out of a cold environment, an environment of lack. Lack in every way. Lack of understanding about what you are as a human. Lack of compassion. Lack of what is right. Lack of spirituality. Just lack. And so we can see a lot of that today. And yes, we have had things thwarted upon us as black people throughout the enslavement process. Men were sodomized regularly. They don't want to tell you that story, but that's the truth. Men were breeders as well. Men lived in pens on sex farms, just existing to breed, existing to have sex, to make someone pregnant, to make more slaves. It ain't got nothing to do with love. It had nothing to do with friendship. No. So a lot of times from the spiritual aspect, individuals would marry to be able to satisfy their sexual needs, so they thought, so that they wouldn't be, quote unquote, sinning. Because sex is sex, whether you're married or you're not. But it's still intercourse. It's still sex. And all the other wonderful things that come along with it. But just saying, we are getting away from morality. We're getting away from it. I'm not talking about the drag shows. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about forcing young girls to be in a public bathroom or a bathroom in school or on a team with a boy who feels like he's a girl. Because I don't see it on the other side. And, you know, and I know gay women, but I haven't seen this on the other side. I haven't seen one gay woman or gay girl I've ever known say, I want to compete against men and I want to go to the men's bathroom. I haven't seen that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I'm saying I haven't seen it. So, and some of you may feel this way. Like, I have issues with this. This isn't cool. The war on real women. And there are some women who get all involved in the fray and, you know, talk about how, like the new conversation is around men having babies, which is an artificial insemination and all kind of other stuff that's just ungodly. And I'm like, when it comes to nature, sorry, the universal creator made a woman for a reason. A woman. Womb. We have a womb. We can have children. We can bear fruit. It did not give this power to men. Men have semen. Semen fertilizes an egg, but the egg is in the female, and the female is the one that gestates to bring forth this new human being, not men. If it was, then men would be able to procreate. We would both be able to procreate, but we can't. So it's a bit of an insult because you want to make it seem as if a woman giving birth is no big deal. A man can do it too. No, not naturally. We've seen that since the dawn of time. And then you have the blatant homosexual agenda, which is a depopulation tactic. Because if men are having sex with men and women are having sex with women, ain't no babies going to be born. So they got people all hyped up on their feelings when, pardon my vernacular, but in the words of the great Robert Glasper, F your feelings. Your feelings? Feel like, really? And so if I was black as night and say I feel white, does that give me a pass? Am I going to get the loan? Does my credit score go up? Tell me my FICO score going to jump up because I feel like I'm white. That's doubtful. And we all know when we're young, children can go back and forth in terms of their sexuality, meaning that they're not necessarily committed to a sex in that way. You know, I was a tomboy. I knew I was a girl, but I was a tomboy. I liked climbing trees and racing on my bicycle and running, and I loved all of that. But I love being a woman. Yes, a real woman. Everything I got, the creator gave me. I'm grateful. I'm not wishing anything else. And although I do feel for people who feel stuck or like they're trapped in the wrong body, you know, I feel for them. I do. It's not normal. And I think that we've got to be very careful when we begin to normalize dysfunction. Got to be careful. I'm working on something. I'm not going to go all the way into it tonight, but I am working on something because the demons of our world are working overtime and they're achieving things. And so I'll just tell you this. We have certain public schools in this country that now have a satanic after-school program. Prove this? I have no damn idea. But the fact that students can wear satanic memorabilia, T-shirts, whatever, and this one school has a satanic after-school program. You tell me that Satan ain't working overtime. A satanic after-school program? What the hell are they learning? I'm scared to think of what they're learning. Because the rituals that go on in the satanic church are quite horrific. What are these children learning? And you've got five demons, and y'all may be like, what is she talking about, blah, blah, blah. No, but they are. There's five demons that they're written down, what they do, what they control, the whole nine. And we're living in that world right now. Homosexuality has been around for thousands of years. It was always frowned upon. Why? Because it wasn't normal. Read the story in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm not a religious person, but I know the story. You tell me what God did. Burnt the shit to the ground. So how is it all just hunky-dory and fine now in that way? And like I said, I'm not talking about beating people up, hurting people in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I don't believe in that. I don't have a problem if two people want to spend the rest of their lives together. That's their business. My problem comes in when you start pushing it on children and you're not paying attention to the big picture. One of the main reasons why we have so many homosexual boys is because of our food industry. A lot of these children aren't even eating real fruits and vegetables anymore. If there's no seed, there's no masculine aspect to the fruit or the vegetable. You need a seed. If it's genetically modified, if it's grown and made in a lab, or you're eating oranges with no seeds, apples with no seeds, watermelon with no seeds, that's just an abomination. It takes out the masculine aspect of the fruit. So keep giving that to your son, along with all this other fake food. And yeah, that can happen. They done GMO'd corn. Yes, corn. To make a boy become gay. Look it up yourself. We're not living in a very sane world anymore. There's a lot going on that is demonstrative, that is demonic. And I keep trying to get y'all to see when that pokes its head out, because it pokes its head out all the time. How much they've changed the music industry, especially black music, which was so soulful and melodic and beautiful, and you changed all of that into being, what, a demonic vibration, a violent vibration. Again, why was Ed Sheeran at the Grammys dressed up like the devil? Why is that allowed to be okay? Why are we glorifying the devil? And if you don't keep your head on a swivel, you're going to continue to see things change drastically. And when it gets out of control, you won't have no hand on it. And that could be in your own house. So we have to be very, very, very careful and aware of what is going on. And again, I'm not trying to bash gay people, not at all. But if your son feels like he's a girl and he wants to compete against my daughter, he's going to have a problem. And a lot more people should be just a little bit more outraged over it, because it is a gross injustice against actual female, okay? Actual female women. It is a gross disrespect. So be careful. Just be careful. Be aware and be careful. Lastly, and this is interesting. Y'all know the Barbie dolls, right? I have my own Barbie collection. I've got black Barbies, white Barbies. I got my own collection, okay? Barbies, you know, has its own culture. But Barbie, the corporation, has now come out with a doll that has Down syndrome. This is heavy. I was like, okay. I was like, what? Wow. Like, at the same time, what and wow at the same time. Now, this is interesting. Here's the clincher. Someone gave the doll to their child or their sister who had Down syndrome. And it took a little while, but eventually you hear the little girl say, oh, finally a doll that looks like me. Now, God, please forgive me, but that doll ain't look nothing like that little girl. I'm sorry. Now, you know, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. The doll didn't look anything like this young girl who had Down syndrome. Okay? The Down syndrome Barbie than regular Barbie. She has a head that's bigger, and the shape is a little boxy. Other than that, on site, she's like a white and, you know, thick chick with leg braces. She looks like the kind of woman that some brothers like, minus the leg braces, if you know what I'm talking about. Don't know what I mean, but I can't make this up. And I'm like, I'm amazed. They done made a Down syndrome Barbie. I'm not mad for the children that have Down syndrome, but the doll don't really look like she got Down syndrome, so that was also weird to me. Then they have another Barbie who's black with a huge afro, and she's sitting in the damn wheelchair. Y'all heard me right. They got the black Barbie, and I guess she's disabled. She got a big-ass afro, but she's sitting in a wheelchair. So, like, she's paraplegic, I guess. I was like, why the black Barbie got to be paraplegic with the big afro? Hello? I can't make these things up. Some of this stuff just pops off on its own, and I just see it when it happens, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Got to talk about it. Woo! Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But I was a little PO'd that the black Barbie had to be in a wheelchair. There's lots of other disabilities. She got to be the one who can't walk, though. I was like, okay, all right. You know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that sees things differently. You know, I'm not afraid of that. But I was just like, work. The black Barbie got the big, big afro sitting in a wheelchair. Ain't that a bitch? And one more thing, sorry. Maybe it's me. But if anybody out there watches MSNBC News, that's my favorite news outlet, even though I know they be lying to me too, but at least they do it in a nicer way. I don't really like CNN. I don't like Wolf Blitzer. I don't like them. Anyway, I know I'm not bugging out, but y'all know Simone Sanders. Simone Sanders actually used to work for Vice President Kamala Harris before she got this gig as being a Saturday anchor on MSNBC. However, sitting in for Stephanie Ruhle and the 11th hour. And one night, she had on makeup that made her look very, very, very light-skinned. And she's not. The very next day, she was made up nicely and, you know, in her own skin complexion. I don't know if people called in. I don't know if people went off about it. I know I noticed it, but not enough to call somebody. But I noticed it, and I was like, wow, because that night she looked like high yellow, and Simone Sanders is not high yellow. So when they brought her back on the next night, you know, she was looking like she should be looking. She looked very, very nice. And I don't know who got a hold of her face, you know, but whoever's in makeup at MSNBC, please stop the lightening up BS. You don't need to be lightening us up, okay? Have better lighting. How about that? All right? Let a sister be her true and beautiful skin complexion, whatever her complexion is, whether it is from light skin all the way down to a beautiful blue-black. Let her be. So I'm glad they finally got it right. But I found that to be really interesting because that first night they had her on, so I guess Stephanie was on vacation, they had her looking like a light bright. And I was like, Simone Sanders is not a light bright. So I don't know if people called in or whatever, but they eventually got that together. I was like, Lord, please, let's stay consistent. You know, and why is it that colorism is so big in this country or even in the world? It's just disgusting to me. It's so, so sad because black people are the progenitors of every human on this planet. We are the bomb.com. We still fly. We are so fly. We should be dead after everything that has been done to us, but we are still banging it out. And our children are amazing. Two young ladies, I forgot which high school they went to, but they discovered another mathematical formula that was actually more fierce than Pythagoras and the whole Pythagorean theory, okay? And I said before, Pythagoras only learned what he learned because he went to Kemet and had to study there for at least 8 to 10 years before he came back to Greece. As well as Aristotle and Hippocrates and all the rest of them. But, you know, they're brilliant. They're genius. There's another young girl who, what did she just become? Like she just got her doctorate, like her PhD. She graduated college at a very, very early age. Like, these are beautiful black children, just amazing. Another young boy got like over 90 something scholarships to universities. Come on. We're amazing. Super, super intelligent in more ways than one. It's not just about swag. It's not just about rhythm. We're amazing. You know, and the fact that they want to take our entire history out of school and stuff like that should make you feel some kind of way. Serious. They should, you know, there's something wrong with that. I know that's right. They all got belly buttons. Go ahead, KK. Excuse me. But I'm just like, these children are surpassing us, which they should, and it's such a beautiful thing to see. But you're not going to see it on the news, and you're not going to, you know, you may not even read it in the paper. You got to catch it. You know, I'm grateful for the individuals that I do follow on Instagram, because I'm not into the ratchet. I'm not into the ass popping, and I'm not into any of that type of stuff. You know, I'm intellectual, scientific, things like that. And so that's the information that I received. And so it definitely made my day when I saw those young ladies. I was like, y'all better carry. You know, and the young brother with all the scholarship opportunities. Like, this is us. This is how we roll. This is our children. So we have to continue to teach them knowledge of self, how amazing and fantastic they are, their lineage, their culture, heritage. Man, blah. Everybody else is stealing everything we got. And if they're not stealing it, then they're just trying to do away with it. But we have to persist, okay, family? We have to persist, make it pop, get it in, do what we have to do, okay? Because it's obvious. It's obvious. I just really hope that everybody can understand what I'm trying to say. I think it's important for us to be who we are, you know, in more ways than one, obviously. But be who we are. Be the best that you can be. Be kind and be compassionate and be loving. Because there's so much going on that just seeks to undermine us, and we have to be vigil and keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention. Seriously. If we don't, what are we going to do? So before we go, I see I've got Dr. James Winborn. Hey, Doc. All right, 973-640. I hope that you will open up. 973-640. Alamo, are you with me?
Peace to the queen.
Peace, Doc. How are you tonight?
I am blessed and highly favored. Just wanted to stop it. Wanted to stop it right quick. Say hello. I had a little break, so let me go in here and see what's going on. See what
I
can eat right quick.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know you're so busy. You know, I was talking about you earlier because I bought your book.
Oh, did you?
I bought Mad Jack and the Rabbit Holes.
Oh, okay. Give thanks.
I'm enjoying
it. Oh, good. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes, I was telling the family that they need to go on Amazon and support you.
Yes, well, you know, we have them there, and we appreciate the support of everybody going in and buy a book so I can buy something to eat. And let's continue to grow and continue in this highest level of consciousness. There's a lot of big things going on all around the world, in the United States, a lot of stuff is about to happen, and we're just trying to prepare ourselves and trying to get ourselves in position and look out for our people.
Yes, sir.
Things are going on, and I think that when we're able to make the announcements, everyone will be really, really elated about what we have in store. So give thanks for that. Again, like I said, I had a little quick break. I wanted to come in right quick. I know the program almost over, and shout out and say hello to everybody. I don't see Dr. Robinson. I know normally I fight with him for about 2 minutes or so before we can get on.
But he's doing well, right?
Yes, he's doing well. He's doing well. He's busy also. You know, he's doing the program on Friday evening. And we have some new shows that's coming that are starting. We got a show that's starting in the day, and so you know we're just grateful for everything that's coming along. The station is coming along. The publishing company is coming along, and we're just really grateful for everything that we see that's happening. And we thank everybody for your support. And we're excited. You know, you brought Mad Jack, but I'm also excited about the children's books. These are the first children's books I've written.
Great.
The Adventures of Mad Jack. And I've been getting a lot of rhythm from that. And, so I'm hoping that they're all about cognitive behavior therapy and anger management. So we're talking to the schools, and we're hoping the schools pick them up and
awesome.
Use them. That would be awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So we appreciate everybody's support and your prayers, and we're just looking for great things. Give thanks.
Yes, indeed. Give thanks. Thank you so much for being on tonight, Doc. I know you have a million things going on at one time, but thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all mine. Well, you know, I come here to eat.
Thank you.
Some places I go to feed. And in some places, I go to eat. So this is where I come to eat. So,
Thank you.
Indeed.
And you have a great rest of your week, okay?
You too. God bless.
Thank you. Peace and love, Doc. All right, family. You know how we do. That was the illustrious Dr. James Winborn that I was talking about earlier in the show. He's a heavy hitter, y'all, okay? Doctor's a heavy hitter, so he has a lot of books out. You can just look up Dr. James Winborn on Amazon. A lot of his books do deal with behavior, depression, anxiety, cognitive dissonance, all kind of things. So, you know, do yourself a favor. Get some. If you have an unruly child, get The Adventures of Mad Jack. he's not a yank. But I thank you all for being with me tonight. Happy birthday to all the birthday people out there. Let's just keep doing our best. You know, keep seeking knowledge, family. The truth shall set you free. It is real. There is such thing as the truth. Don't think that there isn't. You know, just be the best that you can be, family. You know, I have to thank my husband for getting me through these past couple of weeks. It wasn't easy. I definitely am feeling much better because, like I said, I know my girl is in a much better place. But I thank my husband for being my rock and for being there, giving me that shoulder, let me cry, let me be quiet, whatever. I really, really thank him. And also, I continue to plug him as usual. You know how I do, you know, because he is the DJ Supreme. Oh, my God. But DJ Pitch Control on SoundCloud.com. Go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. Get your life, okay? The music is wonderful and beautiful. He just did a recent Latino mix that is straight fire. You know, he's got more fire for you. It's coming. And we have some wonderful events that are also happening up here in the mountains. We're doing the gathering. The gathering is August 12th. It's got vendors. It has absolute delicious food from Chef Shayna, who was featured on Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen. She is the owner of Mad Apples. That is where the event is being held. DJ Pitch Control, myself, DJ Nina, DJ Davion, I believe, DJ A-Plane from D.C. will be on the ones and twos. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful day. We also have an event happening in Atlantic City on the beach. That will be July 22nd, Saturday, July 22nd. that's going to be funky. Oof, the beach party. We did it last year twice. We're doing it again this year. Also want to give a super shout-out to the Columbia House Music Project with DJ Kelly Kell and the family. We'll see y'all. We'll see y'all. We're coming down there. You know we are. But, yeah, stuff is happening. It's summertime is upon us, family. This is when we make our magic happen. So, you know, stay tuned. I'll be expressing a lot more information and letting you guys know what other events are coming up. But until then, just be good. Be brilliant. Be who you are. Love who you are and love each other. Let's protect the babies and watch out for the elderly. All right? And peace, Bonnie. Peace, my love. So, yeah, fam. You know, get it in. Be good. All right? Have a beautiful week ahead. All right? Thank you, everybody, for being with me tonight. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, a.k.a. Black Alice. One love. Peace.